It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Rivers rising. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. A drenching rain causing localized flooding today in parts of the listening area. Meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Well, a potent cold front pushing east across our region today spells the potential of flooding rains through portions of Central New York, the Finger Lakes, Central and Eastern Pennsylvania. A few thunderstorms will be in the mix as well.
McKean and Potter counties in Pennsylvania under a flood watch till 4 p.m. Flood warnings in effect for Union and Snyder counties. The man at the center of New York's nursing home scandal is stepping down. Health Secretary Howard Zucker announcing his resignation today. Zucker was appointed top doc in 2015, but came under fire recently for the underreporting of COVID deaths at nursing homes during the height of the pandemic. Governor Hochul is doubling down on the vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. They have till Monday to get the jab or lose their job.
To those who refuse, we will find replacements.
Reporter Dave McKinley says the vax rule could backfire.
Hochul's insistence that the mandate be carried out with no test-out option has served to exacerbate an already existing healthcare worker shortage, with some hospitals already pausing elective procedures and even maternity services because they, with staffing already stretched thin, may have to fire healthcare professionals who have decided not to get the shot.
Earlier this week, a federal judge in Utica blocked New York from enforcing any part of the mandate that prohibits religious exemptions. The judge's order means healthcare workers can ask for a religious opt-out. The FDA has just granted emergency use approval for a third round of COVID vaccine. Three groups can get the third dose.
Those over 65, those with underlying health conditions, and those who work in jobs that put them at high risk of getting COVID-19. That would include many who work in the health field.
Steve Futterman says this booster shot is just for those who've received the Pfizer vaccine. The CDC still needs to sign off on it. Less than 55% of eligible Americans are fully vaccinated, and the question going forward is, will the coming winter be as dark as the last one?
Does not have to be. And that's really the difference now, because we now have, even with the Delta variant, the vaccines that we have are highly effective and safe.
Pandemic point man Dr. Anthony Fauci. As the border crisis rages on, the White House remains eerily silent on whether President Biden has ever been there.
Has President Biden ever been to the southern border?
I will have to look back in my history books.
Press Secretary Jen Psaki grilled on that by Peter Ducey of Fox News yesterday. Meantime, thousands of Haitian immigrants remain camped out under a border bridge in Del Rio, Texas.
I saw people washing babies in the Rio Grande. I saw babies, breastfeeding babies, sleeping in dirt, 107 degrees outside, red ants everywhere, real coyotes, the ones that have four legs walking around. It was like Naked and Afraid, Southern Border Edition out there.
Humanitarian aid worker John Rourke.
They come and go back and forth from Mexico as if me or you walk across the street. And they told me to my face, the reason why we're here is because of Joe Biden is allowing us to come here.
Brandon Judd at the National Border Patrol Council warned President Biden months ago about the impending crisis at the southern border.
Not only did they ignore us, they said that they had more efficient ways to deal with this. And now we had 14,872 people under that bridge. If that's efficient, then our government is broke.
More than 1,000 Haitian migrants have been released into the U.S., even as the federal government attempts to send thousands back to Haiti. Joint Chiefs Chairman General Mark Milley and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin will both be testifying next week before a Senate panel about the chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan.
This administration is acting as if we are done with Afghanistan. I can tell you that General Milley and Secretary Austin will have a lot of questions to answer next week.
Iowa Senator Joni Ernst.
We need answers to why this happened. We lost 13 souls, those brave service members, in the last few days of this haphazard withdrawal. We still have Americans in Afghanistan and held at the will of the Taliban. We need need answers from these leaders.
That hearing happens Tuesday, September 28th, before the Senate Armed Services Committee. Still to come on the Noon Report for Thursday, the pastor slash principal from Olean. Another school goes remote and healthcare workers must decide, and soon. But first, weather with Kevin Williams.
Well, good afternoon. The big rains that fell last night in western New York and western Pennsylvania are shifting east this afternoon. I'll have the latest in the forecast coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. We should mention, again, a flood warning in effect right now. Central Pennsylvania, Union and Snyder counties, rivers are rising there. Flood watch in effect through 4 o'clock this afternoon for McKean and Potter counties. New York's top doc is stepping down. Health Commissioner Howard Zucker submitting his resignation today. He came under fire recently for his handling of COVID deaths at nursing homes. Dr. Zucker says he will remain at his post until a replacement is found. The mayor's race in Buffalo is getting national attention. Family Life's Dee Haley.
Washington Post national political correspondent Dave Weigel was in town to spend time with Democratic Party nominee India Walton and incumbent Mayor Byron Brown to discuss the implications of this race on the national political scene. Meanwhile, WGRZ-TV has joined the Buffalo News and Buffalo-Toronto Public Media, WNED, in an effort to air a televised debate between the Buffalo mayoral candidates next month. While Mayor Brown's campaign agreed to a debate, the India Walton campaign has declined the invitation. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Akron High School in western New York will temporarily shift to remote learning starting Monday. It comes after 24 students tested positive for COVID. Superintendent Patrick McCabe.
Our district is likely an area of transmission, whereas in all of last year, we didn't have any confirmed transmission within the school. The county has said there is ample evidence to indicate that there is transmissioning happening at a rapid rate within our high school.
Akron High expects to return to in-person learning October 4th. The suburban Rochester school's been hit hard by COVID.
Nearly 200 students are now in quarantine due to a COVID outbreak in the Victor Central School District. Superintendent Tim Terranova held a virtual town hall meeting Wednesday evening to update students, staff, and parents on the situation. He says so far there have been 28 confirmed positive cases, 4 of those being adults. Victor Primary School, with a student population of more than 600, has a majority of those cases. Terranova says the school will remain open for in-person instruction as long as the Ontario County Health Department says it's safe to do so. Mark Webster, Family Life News.
The website for the New York School COVID report card is down, and that means 3 weeks into the new school year, there is no state information on COVID transmission in schools. Some education experts worry about what they see as arbitrary COVID protocols taking shape in the classroom.
What parents might not know now is that if there are 2 positives in a class, they'll shut the whole class down. Whether you were within 3 feet, 6 feet, a kid could be 30 feet away, fully masked, everyone's going home. You know, we're trying to have all these kids stay in for 180 days this year, and this is already being threatened and not happening for many children.
Governor Hochul's promised transparency with COVID data, but is yet to post COVID cases in schools. The governor may recruit hospital workers from overseas to fill staffing shortages in New York.
Monday, the vaccine mandate kicks in for hospital and nursing home workers across New York. Some of those workers say they will not roll up their sleeves. Governor Hochul says you can blame them for helping keep the pandemic alive.
People who will not get vaccinated are the only reason that this country has not been able to be fully engaged.
So the governor says New York may offer visas for vaccinated foreign nurses to help fill that gap of workers who refuse to get the shot. And come Monday, employers can actually fire unvaccinated hospital and nursing home workers. Noam Layden, New York.
A Pennsylvania school district has reversed its decision on allowing students and staff to go maskless in the school building. Tamaqua Central changing its mind after receiving a letter from the state health department warning of possible legal ramifications. Tamaqua will begin adhering to the mask rule in school October 4th. Climate Week is underway in New York. Officials in Albany are using the occasion to introduce policies to reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
We are having record storms. I mean, 100-year, 500-year, 1,000-year storms every few years. We're seeing species shifting because of the changes in water temperature and air temperature. And there's something is happening here that we have to get on top of. And it's not just because we love the trees or the animals. This is an economic situation that we're facing.
The state DEC commissioner in testimony yesterday. Pennsylvania politicians questioned Turnpike executives yesterday over their efforts, or lack thereof, at collecting unpaid tolls. Last year, during the height of the pandemic, more than $104 million in tolls went uncollected. Some 11 million rides generated no revenue for the debt-hobbled agency last year. He's a principal and a pastor, and some parents and students in one Southern Tier school district also say he's a bigot because of his words from the pulpit. Joel Witcher is the senior pastor of the Fresh Fire Worship Center in Allegheny, and he's the principal of the Olean Intermediate Middle School. A comment Witcher made about Islam at church has some calling for his resignation at school.
Muslims, that's outside of the government of God. You need to understand it is a spiritual battle that is going on.
Some parents in Olean have started an online petition to have the pastor slash principal removed. Others argue it is his constitutionally protected right to say what he wants to from the pulpit without fear of retaliation at school. Here's Western New York attorney Paul Cambria.
Well, it's clearly a First Amendment case. There's no question about it. And the issue is whether or not the school can take action against this kind of speech and say that it's not protected and that he could lose his job. Now, realize his speech is outside the school, if you will, but it can affect the school.
So far, there's been no comment from the Olean superintendent or any members of the Olean school board on what might happen to that pastor slash principal from Cattaraugus County. Pennsylvanians are buying alcohol in record amounts. The State Liquor Control Board, which oversees all wine and spirit sales, reported record sales last year. Some experts believe COVID restrictions have a lot to do with it.
It's pretty clear that the deficit in having other activities can drive substance use of all types. It's something that we have been concerned about with the lockdowns and people being socially isolated.
Substance abuse expert Brett Ginsburg says people tend to drink more when cooped up at home or in a state of depression. The two-minute drill next in sports. Here's Sonny Delphia.
Yeah, Bob, big news out of KeyBank Center in Buffalo. Sabres general manager Kevin Adams on Jack Eichel.
I spoke to Jack 2 days ago. I spoke to the team yesterday and addressed this. Jack Eichel is no longer the captain of the Buffalo Sabres.
That's after Eichel failed his physical.
From our perspective and my perspective, I feel the captain is the heartbeat of your team. And we're in a situation from where we were in the past and where we are now that felt that we needed to address that and make that decision.
The Sabres start the preseason next Tuesday against Columbus. To the Diamond, and the Yankees moved a half game past the Blue Jays for the second wild card. The Bronx Bombers rallied by the Rangers 7-3. Corey Kluber loving the momentum.
Yeah, I think it'll be intense. I think it'll be a lot of fun. These types of games, these atmospheres that we're going to be in coming up for the next nine, those are exciting. Those are what we all want the opportunity to play in.
Toronto's a half game out of the wild card after being pounded by Tampa Bay 7-1. Elsewhere, the Phillies are three games out of the National League East lead. They were leading the Orioles 4-3. The O's trying to tie it up, but Bryce Harper made sure to stop that.
Opposite way, a base hit it to right field. Severino's coming home. Harper's throw to the plate is on the fly! He's out at home plate!
And the Phillies win 4-3. Red Sox win their sixth straight, pounding the Mets 12-5. Elsewhere, the Nationals 7-5 over Miami. Pirates, Reds, and Cleveland, Kansas City games rained out. Some big names on the list of potential future NFL Hall of Famers for the class of 2022. 122 players were named as nominees. Players from the past like Cornelius Bennett, Heath Miller, Hines Ward, Randall Cunningham, and Troy Vincent, to name a few. And week three of the NFL season kicks off tonight. It's a showdown in H-Town, Houston, as the Panthers visit the Texans. Thursday Night Football, Carolina off to a 2-0 start with Sam Darnold under center.
Houston is 1-1. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on the Noon Report, a Thursday edition. Flood warnings, Pennsylvania. Vax rules in New York, and it's a twin thing in Williamsport.
You've heard it said that you are what you eat. The great theologian St. Augustine said you are what you love. It's also true that you are what you binge. So let's binge good things. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Pediatricians are growing increasingly concerned about an explosion in facial and vocal tics in teenagers, especially among teenage girls. According to the International Parkinson and Movement Disorders Society, case numbers in Canada, the US, the UK, Germany, and Australia have skyrocketed over the last year. They've called this a parallel pandemic alongside COVID-19. A UK journal also reported similar findings recently. A significant majority of these young patients report spending a lot of time on social media, especially one particular corner of TikTok, where influencers who themselves have tics share their own stories and show these tics on the platform. According to researchers in the UK, the TikTok channel hashtag Tourette's had 2.5 billion views as of last February. Well, doctors say that neurological scans of teenage girls with what they have called, quote, functional tic-like behaviors don't show the same signs as Tourette's syndrome. The tics are real and they're uncontrollable, but they're not neurological. Instead, they're learned over a screen. These types of phenomena are known as social contagions or mass sociogenic illnesses. They've baffled psychologists for decades. Whether gender dysphoria, violent behavior, facial tics, there's something about us, especially when we're younger, that's vulnerable to suggestion and to pressure, even to the point of hurting ourselves. The existence of social contagions actually reveals something about how God has made us. To put it as simply as possible, we're impressionable. Proverbs, especially in chapter 4, repeatedly alludes to this. We're warned against following the path of the wicked. We're told, above all else, guard our hearts, because everything else flows from it. Though we like to think of ourselves as primarily rational creatures, making decisions by carefully and objectively considering all sides, we're far more driven as human beings by what we desire than what we think. God gave us hearts that are often shaped in ways and by forces that we're not always aware of. Before the fall, Scripture tells us that God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. This idea of walking emerges again in Proverbs, but this time in a warning. Out of the garden, we're warned against walking with the wicked or the foolish. Apparently, the problem is not that we're impressionable. The problem is not that our hearts were made to be formed and shaped by others. We're in fact made to become like God by walking with Him. We're to be formed by Him. The problem is, in a fallen world, this very good way that God made us can instead lead us to be twisted into the image of something else, something corrupt, foolish, or sinful. Now, the most obvious strategy in light of all this would be to dramatically limit social media exposure. But there's also something here about communities. In healthy communities, there's support, there's sharing about struggles. But social media comes without any safeguards, especially for teens. Digital community is not real community. It's kind of like a performance art in front of strangers that just elevates the potential for social contagion. Physical community is real, at least it should be, especially within our families and churches. And then let's remember, if we are potentially impressionable to the point of harm, we're also impressionable to the point of health. Opposite of the wicked man, Psalm 1 says, who stands in the way of sinners and sits in the seat of the scornful, is the one who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. That's because the Word of God is living and active. It's also because our hearts are very much shaped by what we binge. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Coming up on 20 past the hour, Kevin Williams weather next.
Here is your Family Life weather forecast for this afternoon. Heavy rain, thunder, localized flooding in parts of central New York and eastern Pennsylvania. Farther west, any rains tapering to a couple of scattered showers with some breaks in the clouds. Temperatures holding nearly steady, cool 60s for most. Dropping tonight toward 50, partially cloudy. Tomorrow, some lake effect rain showers near Lake Erie, otherwise some sunshine. High temperatures in the 60s to near 70.
Kevin. This first full day of fall, September 23rd, lots going on. Let's jump right in. Flood warnings in effect today. Union, Snyder counties, central Pennsylvania rivers, they're spilling their banks. A soaking rain continues to clobber the Keystone State. Brett Thacker, a meteorologist with ABC 27.
There's a lot of moisture in the atmosphere over top of us. And so because of that, it has to go somewhere. And today it's going to come over top of us again, just pummeling us with more inches of rain.
Flood watches in effect for McKean and Potter counties till 4 this afternoon. New York's vax rule for healthcare workers takes effect next Monday. Western New York's largest hospital, ECMC, could lose 400 workers because of that mandate. Dr. Sam Cloud is an emergency physician there.
The only way out of this pandemic is either to get the COVID infection or the COVID vaccine. The vaccine is much, much, much safer than getting the COVID infection. I've been doing almost nothing since the beginning of the pandemic but dealing with COVID, and I've done all the research. I've read all the studies on the vaccine. It's a safe vaccine. I've given it to my own children.
ECMC suspending elective surgeries because of staffing shortages. Other hospitals are hosting vaccine clinics to bump up their compliance rate.
We've been talking to our staff, and a lot have indicated that they're going to, you know, kind of wait till last minute. But they are willing to do it, and so we're expecting a lot of people to go ahead and get vaccinated at the clinic Thursday and Friday.
Alex Galicia works at the Niagara Falls Memorial Medical Center. Fallout continues in the military over the president's vax rule for the armed forces. All 1.5 million active duty soldiers, sailors, and Marines must get the COVID shot within 3 months. Already, hundreds have indicated they will quit the military rather than comply.
This is devastating to our force. It's devastating to our national security. You're talking about decades, if not hundreds of years in that case, if not thousands of years of institutional knowledge and experience of warfighting time. And I have gotten a lot of text messages from my former colleagues, of course, who will get out. And you're talking about senior leaders with massive amounts of knowledge.
Scott Taylor, former Navy SEAL and current congressman from Virginia. A makeshift border camp continues to take shape in Del Rio, Texas, where thousands of migrants remain. Correspondent Manuel Bohorquez updates us on conditions there.
Haitian migrants scrambling to find their place in line, and arguments break out on the tarmac as U.S. deportation flights ramp up in an effort to clear out the camp in Del Rio. More than 1,400 Haitians have been deported since Sunday, and there are plans for as many as 7 flights a day to their homeland. Fewer than 5,000 migrants remain in the camp as conditions deteriorate.
Meantime, on Capitol Hill, Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas got testy with a congressman yesterday who asked him for specifics about the border crisis.
Let me share something with you quite clearly. I work 18 hours a day.
The secretary would not give an answer as to the total number of Haitians that have been allowed into this country. Massachusetts Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley wants them all let in.
Haitian lives are black lives. And if we truly believe that black lives matter, the Biden administration must immediately halt all deportations of Haitian migrants.
The congresswoman took issue with border agents on horseback corralling migrants trying to cross into America. Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez says these same agents are offering life-saving care to the Haitians camped out in Del Rio.
I represent Del Rio, and right now in Del Rio, it is as if a hurricane has hit that small town. Border Patrol and other law enforcement agencies are doing everything they possibly can. The Border Patrol agents are literally saving lives. Just last night, one of the migrants delivered a child. They literally delivered a child underneath the bridge.
Gonzalez says it looks like a third world country underneath that border bridge where the Haitians have huddled. A memorial service will happen tonight in a community in mourning on Long Island for 22-year-old Gabby Petito. Blue ribbons line the streets of Blue Point, New York, where Gabby grew up.
I can feel what the parents feel because I lost a daughter 5 years ago, so I know what they feel like.
She was just seemed like a very innocent, sweet girl, and we all felt like she was our daughter.
Petito's body recovered from a park in Wyoming after she failed to return from a cross-country camping trip with her fiancé. Correspondent Jerika Duncan has more.
Petito's disappearance and subsequent death have raised questions about other missing persons cases, nearly 90,000 nationwide.
first and foremost, my heart goes out to her family.
Derricka Wilson is with the Black and Missing Foundation.
But, you know, at the same time, there are Gabby Petitos and the Black and Brown community. And these families are desperate just to get their cases heard.
Reporter Steve Burns continues.
The term used by sociologists is missing white woman syndrome. It's why we know names like JonBenet Ramsey, Natalie Holloway, and Lacey Peterson, but not Alexis Patterson, LaToya Figueroa, and Donna Cook.
We're not trying to dishonor one particular community. We just want to even the playing field.
Derricka Wilson says people of color who go missing tend to be labeled as runaways and don't have a sense of urgency added to their cases as when white women go missing. 25 past the hour, this is the Noon Report.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Christopher Ferrara, special counsel with the Thomas More Society. So last month, New York State issued a vaccination mandate for healthcare workers to keep their job effective September 27th. But mid-September, Judge David Hurd with the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of New York put in place a temporary restraining order for the mandate. Chris, would you tell us about the more recent developments?
So the judge said the parties will simply submit their papers. The TRO will be extended to October 12th, by which date the judge will issue a decision on whether the temporary restraining order will become a preliminary injunction. So that's obviously a positive development, not what the state wanted.
Yeah, and in a nutshell, why do the healthcare professionals that you represent oppose New York's vaccine mandate?
They oppose it because of the connection of all of the available COVID-19 vaccines to abortion, either in testing, development, or production. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is the worst of the three because cells derived from a fetal cell line that came from an aborted child are used to actually produce elements of the vaccine. So all three vaccines pose a moral problem for them.
Chris, the Empire State has flip-flopped on the religious exemption when it comes to COVID shots. Toward the end of August, the exclusion was taken away. Does the court's temporary restraining order invalidate the vaccine mandate for every healthcare worker in New York, or do those in opposition on religious grounds need to request a religious exemption from their employer?
What the temporary restraining order does, and what we hope the preliminary injunction will do, is simply to end the mandate's elimination of the possibility of a religious exemption. When the mandate said that there could only be a medical exemption, but not a religious one, it effectively obliterated the protections of Title VII, which requires the accommodation of religious beliefs under federal law, and also the protections which are parallel to those protections in state law, including the New York Human Rights Law. So the judge has said basically that's a violation of the Supremacy Clause because federal law is supreme over state law. And it's also a violation of the Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment because it penalizes people in violation of their right to their religious beliefs under penalty of losing their jobs if they won't take these vaccines.
So for other folks that are listening that are not a part of your suit, do you think that they should just go ahead and request a religious exemption right now because we're not sure how things will play out?
If I were a healthcare worker in one of the covered entities, I would notify the HR department of the existence of the TRO and its extension to October 12th and request a religious exemption immediately. And you should make clear the basis for your belief. The requirement is only that you have a sincere belief that you hold with religious conviction, not just some personal preference.
Governor Kathy Hochul has vowed to fight the temporary restraining order that blocks the vaccine mandate for healthcare workers in hospitals and nursing homes. Is there anything noteworthy done to date in this case by state officials, and what's likely the next step?
Their brief in opposition to our position is due today at 5 p.m., and after that, the judge has made it clear that there will be no need for further appearances or arguments before him, and he will just decide the case based on the briefs submitted by each side. And that decision will be announced on or before October 12th.
Chris,
I do note that his most recent order indicates the likelihood of irreparable harm to these plaintiffs, meaning harm that cannot be remedied by money damages. For example, you get fired from a hospital because you won't take the vaccine. You lose your admitting privileges as a doctor. Well, you can't have a private practice in many cases unless you can admit people to a hospital. and they would become unemployable throughout the state of New York, because who's going to give them admitting privileges under this mandate? No hospital will. They'll just point to the state's mandate and refuse you privileges. So you become unemployable as a physician, or you become unemployable as a nurse. And there could be disciplinary consequences and malpractice insurance consequences and reputational consequences. It would be a catastrophe for these people. And this mandate is crazy. Even California's mandate, which is similar to New York's, has a religious exemption provision. That's how bad this particular mandate is. It's preposterous, really.
That's Christopher Farrar with the Thomas More Society. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
All right, Tracy, thank you. The name of the program, Faith Under Fire, comes your way Thursdays during the Noon Report or online anytime, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A slug of moisture that resulted in heavy rains last night in western New York, western and central Pennsylvania, shifting east now, with the focus heading into central New York and eastern Pennsylvania. Behind the front, skies will be clearing, and we'll all see some sun return tomorrow. For this afternoon, heavy rain, thunder, localized flooding in parts of central New York and eastern Pennsylvania. Farther west, any rains tapering to a couple of scattered showers with some breaks in the clouds. Temperatures holding nearly steady, cool 60s for most. Dropping tonight toward 50, partially cloudy. Tomorrow, some lake effect rain showers near Lake Erie, otherwise some sunshine. High temperatures in the 60s to near 70.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Working hard at the Weather Center, finally at noon. It doesn't happen very often, folks. An identical twin has given birth to identical twins. It just happened in Williamsport. Hillary Leonard gave birth to healthy twin girls, and what's more, her twin sister, her identical twin sister, Mallory, helped in the delivery. Both twins work at UPMC in Williamsport, and they say this experience has only brought them closer together.
It was definitely heartwarming, like knowing that I grew up as an identical twin and now my children would be able to experience the same thing. It's a feeling like no other.
There's videos that Hillary has sent me of them just laying next to each other and their hands find each other and they're holding hands or they're jabbering back and forth to each other.
We obviously don't remember what it was like for us as babies, but just to imagine that we probably experienced that as children, and now for my kids to experience that as well. Again, one of the greatest feelings I've ever been able to have in my life.
What an amazing story. Now, the odds of being born an identical twin are 3 in 1,000. The odds of an identical twin giving birth to identical twins, well, that is simply not known. But it just happened in Williamsport. That's the world we live in Thursday, September 23rd. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.